The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter number 7, Text number 53, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 6, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are reading from 2nd Canto, Chapter number 7, Scheduled Incarnations, Text number 53.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Mayam Varnayato Mushya.
Mayam Varnayato Mushya.
Ishvarashyanu Modata.
Ishvarashyanu Modata.
Shrinvata Shraddhaya Nityam.
Shrinvata Shraddhaya Nityam.
Mayayatma Namuhyati.
Mayayatma Namuhyati.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's activities in association with His different energies should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. Purport. The science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiments of fanatics. Fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy to be useless to them. And they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's activities in relation to the external energy and the internal energy are equally good. On the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord's external energy should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relation to the external energy. They should not foolishly jump up to the activities of the internal energy, falsely attracted to the Lord's internal potential activities like His rasa lila. The chief reciters of the Bhagavatam are very much enthusiastic about the Lord's internal potential activities. And the pseudo-devotees absorbed in material sense enjoyment falsely jump to the stage of liberated souls and thus fall down deeply into the clutches of external energy. Some of them think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means to hear about His activities with the gopis or about His pastimes like lifting the Govardhan hill. And they have nothing to do with the Lord's plenary expansions as the Purusha avatars and their pastimes of the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of the material worlds. But the pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the pastimes of the Lord either in rasa lila or in creation, maintenance, or destruction of the material world. Rather, the descriptions of such activities of the Lord as the Purusha avatars are specifically meant for persons who are in the clutches of the external energy. Topics like rasa lila are meant for the liberated souls and not for the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls, therefore, must hear with appreciation and devotion the Lord's pastimes in relationship with the external energy, and such acts are as good as the hearing of the rasa lila in the liberated stage. A conditioned soul should not imitate the activities of liberated souls. Lord Chaitanya never indulged in hearing the rasa lila with ordinary men. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of God, the first 9 cantos prepare the ground for hearing the 10th canto. This will be further explained in the last chapter of this canto. In the 3rd canto, it will be more explicit. Pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, must begin reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning, and not from the 10th canto. We have several times been requested by some so-called devotees to take up the 10th canto immediately, but we refrain from such an action because we wish to present Srimad Bhagavatam as the science of God and not as a sensuous understanding for the conditioned souls. This is forbidden by such authorities as Sri Brahmaji. By reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusory energy based on sense enjoyment. And thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, 7th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions. Oma Jnana Timadandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Savayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadam Tikam. So we can understand in relation to this verse just how dull the neophyte devotee can actually be. After Prabhupada explicitly explained this point, that we should not jump to the 10th canto, we should rather hear patiently, step by step. In Los Angeles, during Prabhupada's presence, a number of devotees formed the Gopi Bhava Club. And they would get together and they would just talk about Rasa Leela and Krishna kissing the gopis. These devotees who were part of this group, this clique, they decided, we don't want to hear Bhagavad Gita class, you see. We don't want to go to Mangal Arti. We just go to Tulsi worship. Because in Tulsi worship, we're praying to become gopis in that prayer. We're begging that we can become gopis. So in this way, they concocted their own version of Krishna consciousness. That we will just hear about Krishna kissing the gopis. But we don't want to hear about, you know, surrendering the lotus feet of a spiritual master. You know, how Krishna creates the material existence. That's for neophytes. So such mentality is very, very dangerous. Of thinking that one is now so advanced that I can simply hear Rasa Leela. And we have seen actually the fruits of this kind of sahaja mentality. Recently, while traveling and preaching in America, I visited one lady who called her house a Nityananda temple, Lord Nityananda. She was not part of ISKCON, but she had been attracted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So she went with some boy to Radhakunda and heard from some Babaji that she which gopi she was in Krishna's pastimes. So she was meditating on which gopi she was, and then of course in the evening she would have, while living at Radhakunda, she was having illicit sex with some hippie boy, you see. And she's thinking that she's a gopi in Krishna's pastimes. And then she came back to Vrindavan, and one guru who's trying to take people from ISKCON, who also comes to Fiji, I don't want to mention his name, he initiated her immediately, his disciple. He comes here also. His name starts with an N. N Maharaj. I don't want to say anymore. So N Maharaj immediately initiated this girl who was having illicit sex. Immediately gave her initiation, very cheaply. You see. So this is called Sahaja Vaishnavism. There are different poison pits that one has to avoid. Mayavad is one of them. You know, out and out sense gratification, just to be a hedonist. Another one is Sahaja Vaishnavism, where one just jumps to some cheap understanding and just wants to hear about Krishna kissing the gopis. So it's very important that we go through the Bhagavatam very carefully, first canto, second canto. Prabhupada explains the system for taking darshan of the Lord is first we meditate on His lotus feet, and then gradually the knees, the waist, the chest, and then we finally come to the face of the Lord. So in the same way, the Bhagavatam, first and second canto, they are the lotus feet of the Lord. And gradually we come to the smiling face, which is the 10th canto. So, and then the fact that so many of ISKCON devotees have actually gone to this Mr. N. Maharaj and jumping to this Rasa Leela Kata, it shows how dull we are. So many ISKCON devotees have gone away to go to this N. Maharaj, completely ignoring Prabhupada's instructions. So we have to understand that Srila Prabhupada is not giving his just his own personal opinions. Srila Prabhupada is the most realized spiritual master. He's the most powerful, empowered spiritual master in the history of the universe. Where have we seen a Vaishnava who can, within 10 years, can spread Vaishnava culture throughout the entire world? You see, where is such a Vaishnava Acharya? So we should not think, well, Prabhupada has his opinion and, you know, other gurus have their opinion. No. Prabhupada is not presenting his own personal opinion. Srila Prabhupada is presenting the authorized version coming down from the Guru Parampara. These other gurus, they add these different contaminations, sahajism and other things to spoil. Like, it's like grains of sand in the sweet rice. There may be some very nice sweet rice, but if there's some sand in that sweet rice, then it spoils the whole thing. So we should not have any doubt about Srila Prabhupada's position. We should not be dull-headed fools to miss these very pertinent instructions of Srila Prabhupada. But sadly, that's our nature. We're dull-headed fools. How do we overcome this dull-headed condition, consciousness? How do we actually develop a taste for hearing, chanting, remembering the glories of the Lord? We're too much attracted still by sense gratification. So how will we do that? How will we get out of this position, being too much attached to material sense gratification and having no taste to just dive into the hearing and chanting, the transcendental name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, and the Lord? This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how we can actually develop that taste. Actually, the sweetest canto is actually the first canto, as far as I'm concerned. Prabhupada told us he had put everything in the first canto. Because he didn't know how, in India, he put everything necessary in that first canto. He didn't know how much he would live, you see. He told that he put everything we need in the first canto. That first canto is so sweet. It's so wonderful. Prabhupada sitting in Vrindavan, in Radhadamodar temple, by Rupa Goswami's samadhi, writing the first canto. Everything is there. Everything is in the first canto. Prabhupada, in the first canto, we read a very nice verse which gives us indication how we can get out of this dull-headed position where we have no taste for hearing and chanting the glories of God. Shu shu shro shradana sha vasudeva kataruchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya sevana kirtana. By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So this is the real key, this mood of Vaishnava Seva. You see, this is how we can actually develop taste and get out of this dull-headed consciousness where we're just kind of, you know, walking around wondering what's going on or not really knowing what's going on, by Vaishnava Seva. So this is an area that really needs improvement here in this temple. I'm seeing. Here I am, visiting spiritual master, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. But when it lunchtime, lunch prasadam, no one thinks to bring me prasadam. Devotees are all taking prasadam, no one brings me any prasadam. I'm sitting there thinking maybe I'll just fast. They don't know how to serve a visiting spiritual master. And then finally when the word goes out, and then they just bring some containers here. They come to the door and just hand some containers. And finally we tell them, well, this is not the way you serve a spiritual master, just hand him some containers. You're supposed to serve him, make his plate, lay it before him, see how much he wants. And then it was all completely cold. Totally cold prasadam. So, from now on, unless prasadam is served properly, I'm just fasting. I'm not going to, you know, you all have to be trained how to serve the spiritual master. Doesn't think, well, he's not my guru. But no, Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that one should treat the godbrother of one's spiritual master equally as one's spiritual master. That same respect should be there. So I'm seeing that mood is not here. I'm not being given very proper respect here. So because they're not in this proper mood of Vaishnava Seva is not here. But as a result, there's no taste for hearing, dull-headed consciousness. So, it's not, of course, the Brahmana, the Vaishnava, it's not that he wants to be honored. Actually, the Vaishnava mood is that if I am dishonored, actually that is nectar. And if I am honored, that is poison. It's not that he personally wants honor. Not necessary. He doesn't need honor. He's happy just in taking shelter of Krishna's name. But for the sake of training the neophyte devotees, these points have to be made. They have to be made for the sake of training the neophyte devotees how to properly serve spiritual masters. This is a very important thing. Because without this, we will never develop a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And we can easily be carried away by sahajism, mayavadi philosophy, or just out-and-out hedonism, sense gratification. We have to learn how to enter in deeply into the nama ras. You see. This we are lacking because we are deficient in how we serve the Vaishnavas. When Prabhupada would initiate someone, there would always be an explanation of the 10 offenses. Why? Because without avoiding the 10 offenses, that chanting will never become perfect. You can chant for millions of years, but if you don't know how to overcome the Vaishnava, the Namaparads, and then the chanting will never be successful. The first Namaparada is Vaishnava Aparada. If we don't give proper respect to Vaishnavas, then our chanting will never be effective. It will always remain deficient. So this is a very important thing, that Vaishnavas are not disrespected. They're not neglected. They should be properly honored and served. This is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada very often quoted that English maxim, if you love me, love my dog. We should not think, well, I do my deity service, I offer my artis, I'm always on time, so I'm a very good devotee. And if there's a visiting guru, well, somebody else will take care. I don't have to worry, you know, I have my things to do. Someone else can take care of the visiting spiritual master. And everybody's thinking, well, somebody else can do it. Someone else can do it. Someone else can do it. So that is called Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotee. Unless we know how to properly serve and honor the Vaishnavas, then it doesn't matter how much deity worship we may do, how much this and that we may do. If we don't know how to properly serve and honor the Vaishnavas, we are simply on the material platform. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, it is quoted, so that one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So I'll give you a chance. Today, we'll see if someone serves my prasadam nicely or a fast. We will see. We'll see what the result is today at lunchtime. This Krishna consciousness movement is not simply some nice idea. It requires actually practice. Just like if we go to the university, we take a chemistry course. There are two sections. There's the lecture and the laboratory. One can hear all the formulas. Yes, H2O equals water and all the different formulas. But unless one can actually go to the laboratory and successfully perform the experiment, you see, then one cannot become an adept. One cannot become qualified in chemistry. You have to be expert at doing it also. So we may be able to speak the philosophy very nicely. But unless we can actually manifest the philosophy in practical actions, then what is the use? Prabhupada told me, he said, knowledge without practice becomes dry and useless. We have to apply this knowledge by our practical activities. And then we will realize what is Krishna. There's a difference between knowing Krishna and realizing Krishna. You know that difference? Jnana and vijnana. One who actually follows, who's exemplary in behavior, that person realizes Krishna. One who can practice Vaishnavism, not just talk about it or think about it. When you can actually implement it by practical action, that person realizes Krishna. Nobody else realizes Krishna. You see. If we want to realize Krishna, then we have to be living embodiments of what is written in these books. We have to show it by our practical action. So, are there any questions? Yes.
Am I audible?
What is it?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'll put my hearing aids in too. It may help.
You're talking about the poor quality of service in Fiji. I'm not talking about the quality of service there. Do you agree with
me? Talking about?
I'm talking about the poor quality of service to visiting gurus in Fiji.
This is
poor service to visiting gurus.
Visiting guru?
Yeah, you mentioned that in the class.
Serving and visiting gurus, yeah.
It's because of GBC is involved in Fiji. They are very concerned about this situation. GBC body in Mayapur are not concerned about Fiji. That's why it's happening in Fiji. There's no distinct demarcation of who's in charge in Fiji.
Vishwanath, you come here and you can help me understand what they're saying. So what's he saying?
He's saying is that you mentioned about poor quality of service to visiting spiritual masters.
Yeah.
So he's saying that because the GBC body, the GBC in Mayapur, there's no proper demarcation. You know, they are not properly caring for Fiji, how things happen here.
What do I have to do with that? I shouldn't be fed?
No, but I'm saying the quality is no.
What do I have to do? What does the GBC in Mayapur have to do with me?
Because when Gurudev was in
I shouldn't be fed? That's what you're saying? I should starve?
No. I'm just saying that when Gurudev was here, we were serving gurus like gods. I remember I was young before that time, we used to go after gurus like the gods. We were trained that way. Here, there was distinct leadership in Fiji at that time, distinct leadership.
He's saying that when Gurudev was here, there was distinct leadership and we used to serve gurus like gods. But now there is no distinct leadership here.
So, we can say, well, Because the leaders are not giving the proper
guidance,
therefore I'm not doing my duty. One can say that. You see.
What can I do? What can we do?
But I have an insider secret for you. This is a hot tip. When chaos actually is described by Srila Prabhupada in Srimad Bhagavatam, I was just showing Jairam the quote the other night. When the powerful Acharya comes, then order comes. But when he departs, then chaos comes in. When a powerful Acharya, just like when Prabhupada left, there's so much chaos. And also when Tamal Krishna Goswami, you see, when a powerful Acharya leaves, and it's natural there's going to be some chaos. But then Prabhupada points out that those who are sincere, you see, they work to rectify the situation. So, how to rectify?
No, he said, hands are tied, how do we do it?
So if my hands are tied, how to rectify? Yes. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat eva itarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Krishna has answered your question. One may say, my hands are tied, I can't do anything. But Krishna says that if one is an ideal example of Krishna consciousness, even if his hands are tied behind his back and his feet are tied and he's gagged and bound, you see, if he is manifesting ideal Krishna bhakti within his heart, he exerts by his mere example a powerful revolutionary influence on the entire world, you see. And it's also confirmed by Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, by his influence, the whole world will take up chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So there's no such question, well, the GBC didn't give me enough power, you know, I'm not being recognized by the authorities, so I can't really do anything, I'm helpless. No. The thing is, anybody who wants to can become ideal in Krishna consciousness. The power to become a pure devotee is in your hands. You have the power to become a pure devotee of Krishna. And to the extent that you actually do that, you will naturally have a power or an influence on everything that's going on around you. Revolutionize your consciousness, revolutionize the world. If you revolutionize your own heart, then you will be amazed to see how much of an impact you have. It's just naturally things around you change. In Hindi, there's one saying that if you conquer your mind, you can conquer the whole world. So, there's no such thing as, well, I have no empowerment, so I can't do anything. You don't need a GBC resolution to have empowerment, Prabhu. All you need is purity. All you have to do is cultivate your own purity, and you'll be amazed how much Krishna empowers you to do things, to raise the consciousness of ISKCON and the whole world. Purity is the force, Prabhu.
GBC is enforcing the Prabhupada testament, and how the trustees are more and more disciples.
I think the GBC is not implementing the Prabhupada's legal testimony in the will, and half the trustees in Fiji are Nayamaya's disciples.
There may be some, there's always, even when Prabhupada was here, there was so much chaotic things going on. It's a hospital. In a hospital, you can't expect everybody to be healthy. This kind is a hospital to take contaminated, lusty, angry, greedy people and gradually turn them into pure devotees. That's what ISKCON is. You can't expect ISKCON to be perfect, because everybody who joins this movement brings their lust, their anger, their greed, their lording over propensity. All this crud comes with everyone when they join this movement, and then gradually it's rectified in time. So one has to be patient. That's the way it works. ISKCON is a purification process. So naturally there's going to be problems. But I know that one has to... Yes?
Doctors are not qualified. They are sick themselves. How can they cure the patients?
If doctors are not qualified, they are sick themselves. How do they treat the patients?
So, you think Prabhupada was not qualified?
No.
All right, okay. All right. Now, if Prabhupada was qualified, do you think he had no... Prabhupada was totally impotent to create any bona fide doctors? That Prabhupada... We see the powerful acharyas, as Prabhupada explains. He says, one who is now the disciple, he is the next spiritual master. So, do we think that Prabhupada was such an impotent guru that he could not manifest or create bona fide spiritual masters?
He did, but they are not given the encouragement in Fiji.
That he did, but they are not given encouragement in Fiji.
If Narayana can infiltrate the ISKCON across in Fiji, something wrong is in Fiji, something wrong in Fiji.
Actually, a bona fide spiritual master does not require encouragement. Actually, Prabhupada said, I came to your country without any encouragement. I came as an aggressor. The bona fide guru does not require encouragement. That yes, Swamiji, you come to our country. No, Prabhupada came as an aggressor. So whether the encouragement is there or the encouragement is not there, when the guru comes, then you should receive him nicely. That's my only point. Why there has to be some official encouragement for you to receive him nicely? Is it? Why you didn't serve me yesterday at my lunch? Why you let me go hungry up there? Why you didn't serve me? Is it? Did you require a GVC resolution? Nishringa Prabhu should serve Sankarshan Prabhu's lunch from the GVC in Mayapur? Do you require that? Why don't you be an ideal Vaishnava and show by example? Then you can lift the consciousness of a whole Fiji. You be an ideal example. And then you can elevate the whole Fiji just by your example. You see? No, you don't need any GVC resolution. All you have to do is become an ideal devotee and you'll inspire the whole Fiji yatra. You see? Anybody who wants can become an acharya. You just have to be ideal in your thoughts, your words, and your deeds, and you can inspire everyone. You don't need a GVC resolution. You be acharya. Prabhupada said in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000. I think I quoted in the class yesterday, that, now we are 10,000, then we will be 100,000, then 1 million, then 10 million. He said, there will be no scarcity of acharyas. Prabhupada wants that every member of ISKCON should be an acharya. You don't need a GVC resolution. Just become ideal in your character. Every thought should be pure, every word and every action should be completely pure. And then I guarantee you, you will have a powerful impact on the entire universe. What to speak of Suva or Fiji, you can impact the whole universe if you become pure. Yes. So, may you be empowered. May you become pure in your consciousness and have an uplifting impact on everyone around you by your example. That's my blessing. Any other questions?
Yes, announcement. Today we have lunch at my place for all the devotees.
Oh, there's lunch at your place.
Everybody can come.
So am I invited?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Any other questions? The building doesn't make Krishna consciousness. We have to make it by our own purity. You see, the movement, we cannot have a Krishna consciousness movement just by buildings. There has to be that mood of pure bhakti in the heart. And that will make the Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, instead of ISKCON, it will be MISKCON. We will miss the boat. We can have the biggest buildings, and we can have big bank accounts, so many vehicles, but if there's no proper Vaishnava relationship, no loving exchange between devotees, the whole thing is just an empty shell. So don't make, now you've got a nice building, now don't become an empty shell. You have to keep, when I came here before, it was much more Krishna conscious. When you're meeting on the river in that old shack, it was much more Krishna conscious and vibrant then. And so now we have to revive that spirit, that exciting, adventurous spirit of the Hare Krishna movement takes off. The Hare Krishna movement is going places. It's taking us to higher dimensions of consciousness. We have to have that spirit. And then this building will be filled every morning. And there'll be the whole Bhagavatam will just be packed with people every morning. Yeah.
Before, the covering was no good, but the inside was, the packing was very nice. Now the covering is very nice, but the inside is no good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have the nice packaging job, but the contents are not doing very well. You see, before the package, there was no, but the product was very nice, but there was virtually no package. Now we have a very good package, but the product is disintegrated. So the ideal thing is you have good packaging and good product both, you see, then that's good. There's nothing wrong with having good packaging, but the product must also be good. Otherwise, you have a good packaging and you sell many of the product, and then they all say, "This is no good, we want our money back." And you have to, the big endeavor, all the refund you have to do. So we don't want to have to have people saying, you know, this is no good, you misguided me. No, people should be excited. This is wonderful, this is amazing. I want to make all my friends and relatives and my neighbors, and I want to make the whole country Krishna conscious. This should be a whole revolutionary move. Manifest here, all the devotees, not just some arrangement for eating and sleeping. You see. Alright then. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.